lot of things. You know, one of which is you need to be able to be persistent. You know, sometimes a request doesn't necessarily happen right away, or you may not necessarily know the right individual to reach out to. So you need to be persistent. You need to be willing to be consistent in your approach. So sometimes I'll reach out, won't hear back. You know, maybe I didn't find the right individual, you know, and it will take time to be able to go and find the right person. So there's that persistence aspect that you need to have. You also need to have patience. You know, it needs to align with an individual's schedule and priorities. So sometimes if you reach out to somebody...
Have you ever struggled with turning your long-form content into usable content? So super thrilled to announce that today's episode sponsor is Recast Studios, which helps podcasters and creators turn their podcasts and videos into short video clips and show notes and more, all with the help of AI. So visit recast.studio today to try it out. So hi, everyone. Welcome back to episode 100 of the podcast. So today we are joined by a very amazing guest, somebody who is like super well connected in the Miami tech and VC ecosystem, Ben Weiss. So Ben, you host a podcast. So let's start with kind of what was the origin story like behind your podcast? And like, how did you get started? Like, where did you learn about the term podcasting? And like, what do you see is the future of podcasting?
Yeah. So I got interested in podcasting. Well, I saw, you know, there were some other people in the space doing podcasts too. And it looked like a really great opportunity to kind of ask the questions that I want to ask. And so that was one of the interests. But really the overarching theme was, you know, there's so many different types of podcasts out there and there's a lot of content, which is great. But many times when an individual has a certain amount of success and notoriety for what they've done, you usually see them talking about when they're at that point and kind of what they're building at that moment. But if you're starting out and you want to be able to build something and you want to be able to create, you know, a lot of these people have went through those steps and they've went through and executed on this blueprint. But you know, you're not necessarily always seeing kind of what steps they took when they were young, how their passion for creating a business, for being an entrepreneur, what they took to even finance their first operation, how they got off the ground from a marketing standpoint, what it took to scale. You're not necessarily always seeing all these different steps that went into that. You know, sometimes they will share their stories and other aspects, which is great, but I really want to dive into the steps. You know, how did you go from point A to point B to point C to point D? Because those steps you can really trace back and implement into anything, you know, anything that you want to be able to build. It doesn't necessarily change that much. And so that blueprint needed to be more out there. It needed to be democratized for anyone to be able to learn and understand. And so that's been the focus of Legends and Leaders. It's to bring on people that are in two different categories, legends or leaders, and to really break down their stories so you can take that blueprint and implement it into your life. And so it ranges from business people. We've had on, you know, Mr. Wonderful, like you mentioned, Kevin O'Leary, really an incredible individual, you know, a class act, him and his team. You know, Nancy's also really great, who manages his marketing. And they just, you know, he's somebody who is the epitome of the American dream of entrepreneurship. And he, you know, he shares so many different insights from his story that I didn't hear anywhere. And I've been watching O'Leary content probably every day of my life for years, you know, and seeing him on Shark Tank for a while too. You know, he talked about how he figured out how to be able to, finance his initial company. Like he had $250,000 that was supposed to be committed to him to be able to get his business off the ground. And it, you know, that kind of built on him. And so his mom gave him $10,000 to help start his business. And when he exited the company in the end, he wound up telling his mom, like, hey, you know, you have a small fortune here. And his mom said, you know, I just want to help you out. You get, you know, I don't necessarily want that. I just want the $10,000 back. And he shared a lot of insights into, you know, what it really took to get him off the ground. And then that makes it easier for you to implement it. So that's kind of why I got into podcasting, to really share these journeys so other people can build amazing things and make the world a better place.
I think that's a kind of great mission of why you got into podcasting and like your mission. I think it's incredible, like the amazing guests that you've gotten. So like, let's dive into that. Like, how did you actually get Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful? How did you get him to agree to come on your podcast? And what made that conversation so special for you as a fan of his content? So you said you'd like, you watch his content a lot. So like, how did that moment kind of come about? Like, it must have been such an amazing feeling to like interview one of your favorite entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So it's, you know, if you're persistent and you really believe you can do something, you know, then you go after it with everything you can, then a lot of great things can happen. Right. And so I had a family friend individual that threw a conference and he invited me to come to the conference and I got an opportunity to pitch Kevin O'Leary. You know, he's a shark, you got to pitch him. Right. So I got to pitch him early on in what I was building in the footwear space. And built a relationship through him there, you know. And then I also happened to speak at a conference in New York about that kind of stuff in the footwear space as well. And he was a guest speaker at the conference too. So I got to really catch up with him there. And then I reached out to his team and told him, you know, I've built up a, I've spent time chatting with him at these other areas. We both spoke at a conference together. And I would really, you know, it'd be a great honor to have you on. And, you know, he was open to doing it and to coming on as a guest. But I'm also, I've built up a network over the years. So we had another shark on Shark Tank, Matt Higgins, who was a guest shark for multiple episodes. And we have some other ones that are likely going to come on too as well to be guests. And I'm also partners with one. So, you know, there's a lot of that kind of like network of people. Once you as an entrepreneur kind of build up what you're doing and it gets some notoriety, you're able to also use that personal brand you've created to help bring other people around you. And Kevin, you know, Kevin's an individual that wants to support other entrepreneurs. His whole team is really designed around that. He creates content on his YouTube with younger entrepreneurs and, you know, trying to help them with their businesses. He's consistently putting out advice on all of his social channels, you know, talking about that on Shark Tank. And that's really what he stands for. You know, it's not just like something that's like, you know, this is Kevin O'Leary, he's successful and he wants to, you know, he had that success, he wanted to do the show and get notoriety. It's, he really believes in helping young entrepreneurs and helping other people out. And as we're building what we're building here, you know, this aligns with his mission, you know, of helping younger people and inspiring the next generation. And so he wanted to give back and really share his journey so other people can be, you know, like him and implement some of the steps he's taken and to support, you know, what he truly believes in and what his mission is all about.
That's so amazing that you have such a like appreciation, deep appreciation and admiration for Kevin O'Leary and what he's built, how he's built it. And so my next question is, so like, I know a lot of the audience and even I myself included, I'm super curious to know, like, how did you get these amazing guests? Like your like lineup is like insane. Okay. You've got like people like Henry Shuck of ZoomInfo, some billionaire guy, Kevin O'Leary. So like, how did you get all these people to agree to come on? Like, what was that secret sauce, you could say, that kind of won them over? Was it the persistence or like, what could you share on that front?
Yeah, it's a great question, Rui. So I think it's a combination between a lot of things, you know, one of which is you need to be able to be persistent. You know, sometimes a request doesn't necessarily happen right away, or you may not necessarily know the right individual to reach out to. So you need to be persistent. You need to be willing to you know, be consistent in your approach. So sometimes I'll reach out, won't hear back. You know, maybe I didn't find the right individual, you know, and it will take time to be able to go and find the right person. So there's that persistence aspect that you need to have. You also need to have patience. You know, it needs to align with an individual's schedule and priorities. So sometimes if you reach out to somebody, they may not be available right then. If you're willing to be patient, and come back to them maybe a couple months later or other things like that, then maybe an opportunity can arise there because, you know, not necessarily everybody is doing that, you know, is being a patient. Sometimes I'll wait, you know, 7-8 months. It could be 7-8 months for a guest to join, really just depending on their schedule. But not everyone's willing to wait that long. So it just depends on your patience in that sense. And it also has to be a great value add. You know, it needs to really make sense. Like the podcast Legends and Leaders at this point, you know, is doing thousands of views per episode. We just put an episode out last week with Rick Harrison, who was on Pawn Stars. He's, you know, one of the main individuals behind that popular show from History Channel. And that episode just organically has about 60,000 views within the last, you know, 48 or so hours. So there's a strong value add that presents itself because we've done over 3 million impressions and have tens of thousands of views on episodes, that it becomes a great opportunity for other individuals to really talk about what they're building and share what they're building. And be able to cater to the audience that we have. So, you know, as you build something up, the more consistent you are with it, you can really develop, you know, great audience. And I think that exposure too is one of the best aspects. We have some great high quality individuals that will see the podcast, that will be exposed to the content. And, you know, the more that you kind of get certain great guests on, the other you know, great guests you can continue to get on. But you have to be willing to ask. And then you have to be willing to say, you know, this is what it would mean to me to have you on. Really would be a great honor. It's not too intensive, you know, come on virtually, let's just chat. And it would be, you know, really a privilege to talk with you because you've been a great inspiration. And I think that if you really try things like that and you're persistent and patient and consistent in your approach, you get a great shot at making great things happen.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the first big guest that I got was actually John Lee Dumas. And so I got him from a cold email. I was just a kid, I did not know anything about cold emailing, how to approach them. I just shot this shot and they actually responded. We ended up recording that episode, and that kind of gave me this kind of, how do I put it, this ambition, like I can get a bigger guest now that I've gotten him. So awesome. Like that's kind of like how I started. So like, what's the medium of approach? Like, how do you approach them? Cold emailing? Like, what's that kind of like thing that bridges everything together apart from the network that you said?
Yeah. So, I think it's an approach. It's mixed. I mean, you really just want to try kind of any way you can. Like you mentioned, you know, reaching out via email. You know, everyone today's got social media and they usually have multiple platforms and some are more active than others. So you try to find the best routes on social media to reach out to people, you know, and you just try not to be too pushy, but you want to be persistent in your approach and maybe try multiple different avenues. So it could be through social media, through emails, maybe it's through an intro from somebody else. But you know, if you have enough value in what you're providing, like, you know, like I mentioned before, Ruhi, you know, we're doing, you know, thousands of views per episode at this point. And so that, you know, there's a strong value add in that because the exposure is great. So, you know, that kind of enables it to sell itself too, in that sense. But when we were getting it started, it wasn't at that point necessarily. And you know, you have to just kind of reach out and ask nicely and, you know, make this something that is really worthwhile to them and just keep trying. I mean, however many shots you take, maybe you'll land, you know, 2, 3, 4 out of a couple, you know, shots that you take at getting certain individuals on. And if you get those and you keep doing that, you know, then you have an opportunity to really scale something incredible because you're able to get that kind of flywheel effect from those guests coming on. And then you can get other guests because they've seen those guests come on. I think it's something to that nature, which I'm sure you've experienced as well.
For sure, for sure. So I think that's a really great kind of stopping point for that kind of podcasting kind of scene that we were just talking about. So now let's shift more into YouTube. So you've been on YouTube for a bit. You said your podcasts have been doing like a number of views on YouTube. So like, just share a bit like with the audience, like, what do you think kind of contributes, like in saying a few words, what do you think kind of contributes to success on YouTube?
Yeah. So I think we're still early on in like getting YouTube success. You know, definitely from the shorts perspective, you know, doing YouTube shorts, I think it's about really providing condensed, great information that's like, you know, that really adds value to people right away. So it's something, you know, quick, it's pretty quick paced. You've got information that's interesting, that's exciting, that people haven't heard before. And that's what we've seen also do well on Instagram. Like we just had a clip on Instagram last week that has about 40,000 views on it alone. And it was a pretty quick paced, you know, a minute, you know, less than a minute. And it just talked about something that was really unique about an individual. So talked about Rick Harrison and how he got his pawn license, which his brand is built on pawning and pawn shops. And the license, of course, is the first piece of that. So it was something that, you know, made sense to talk about and was something that a lot of people could potentially be curious about. So condensing that into a clip and having it right away, him talking about a unique story that you may not have heard on that topic, a topic that is really well, you know, makes a lot of sense to be associated and to be having a standalone clip on for him is something that we saw, you know, did quite well. I think that we're definitely still, you know, in the earlier stages of growing that. But, you know, just within, you know, just building up kind of just, I think it's just the consistency and the iterations. You know, the more you do it, the more you're going to learn from it and to be able to grow all different types of content, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and other platforms too.
For sure. And now I wanted to touch on like, so you was talking about stories. So let's riff on that a bit. So how do you kind of draw out these stories from your guests and how do you become a better interviewer? Like, I think there might be a bunch of aspiring podcasters that are listening to this podcast today. And I also, I'm very curious to know, like, how did you become such a good interviewer? And like, how did you kind of build those reps, those consistency? And like, yeah, just like share on that if you could.
Yeah, it's a great question, Rui. So I think it's really about focusing on the guests. There's a lot of different types of podcasts out there, you know, some of which there's a lot that the host talks and the host, you know, really, you know, is a good piece of the episode. You know, a lot of these individuals come on, they're busy people, they only have so much time. And the goal that we have is really just to focus on how do we get the best kind of content out of an individual and really get move along these steps pretty quickly in a pace that, you know, people will listen to, of course, and do that in a timely manner. And so each episode, I really like to focus on, you know, the origin of the individual, like where their passion kind of came from. Because if you don't love what you do, you know, it's not as easy necessarily to have a success with that. So how did your passion kind of begin, right? And then once you have a passion, how did you take that passion and make it into a career? And so what were the steps there, whether it's education, how did you do it from a finance perspective, you know, get your business off the ground or whatever, what you were creating? And then the next thing is some of the breakthrough points. You know, what were some of these points that that occurred that helped you become successful? You know, was it something that went viral? How did you figure out how to make it viral? How did you figure out how to market to do your pre-order campaign well or your crowdfunding campaign? You know, what did it take to get traction on your product? How did you make the first prototype? You know, things like that. So the early fundamental stages. And then once you have that, you know, how did you go and have some success with it and get sales or get traction and notoriety around it? You know, and kind of breaking down that aspect of it. And then from there, what did it take to go and scale to the next phase, whether that's a venture capital raise? You know, and how did you approach these venture capitalists? Or did they approach you? And why did you determine this was the right one? So I think it's a progression of the journey and breaking down at a higher level what those different steps are and moving it along to the next one without going into too much minutia and too many small steps, but having these bigger steps and then making sure that those lead on to the next one. And so that just comes from making sure you're really aware of what the guest has been building and they've been creating, doing proper research beforehand, which every single time there's research done beforehand, making sure that there's a proper prep list of questions, you know, available to move the episode along correctly. And I think that the style that we've created is really focused on the guest. You know, like probably I talk maybe, you know, 3 or 5% of the episode, and probably even less than that, probably like 3% or 2%, you know, just asking a couple questions and that's that. And I think that that provides an opportunity for the listeners to really get the most out of the guest and to prioritize an episode for them, because there's, you know, a lot of podcasts out there that can really, you can get so much from the guest in the time that you have. You know, you're not necessarily listening to the host as much, but you get the guest for pretty much 90-something% of the episode. And the host is serving a purpose for you. The host is moving along the conversation in a way that gets you the most amount of information, maximizing your time efficiency. And so I think that's really what it's about. And that's kind of what we've been doing.
I think that's a super interesting approach of having like a guest focused approach. And so my next question is, so I've seen you like on Twitter, all over Twitter, you're like completely consistent with your clips. So how did it like, what was it like to build that habit kind of a consistency? And how do you keep on putting the reps even when there's no traction? Like, I think Harry Stebbings is a really good example. Like he started like 8 years ago, when he started, he kind of didn't really have much traction. And now here he is, he's the biggest podcaster in the startups and VC space. So like for you, what is that kind of thing where like you became like super consistent? Like how did you know to be consistent? I think that's a really interesting question that I would love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think that consistency, if you look at anyone with success, whether it's creating a company, building a podcast, becoming a social media influencer, any category you look at, generally an individual that's had success is consistent. They're putting reps in daily. You know, they're always trying to make progress in what they're doing. And it pretty much is a trait that's across every single category. So if you want to have success, you really need to be consistent. You need to find a niche that makes sense with what you're doing. So the only way the podcast is really going to grow is through that consistency. And so that's something I realized, you know, much more early on, and it needed to be consistent for it to really get that type of traction. And so, you know, knowing that the clips needed to come out, the clips needed to be edited, and to make sure that though, you know, that was coming out on a pretty weekly basis for the best amount of growth. And I think that once you start doing that more and more and more, you also get more and more traction from that too. You know, people start to see that you're putting the work in and they'll be more inclined to joining what you're building, even if you aren't the biggest yet, because they see that the kind of level of discipline and effort that you're providing. And it's also something that's really fun. You know, there's a lot of enjoyment from that. I mean, you get to see, you know, the kind of growth you've had. I'm sure you've seen this with your podcast now at episode 100, you know, the kind of growth that you had since episode one to where you're at now. You know, there's probably different ways that you handle talking to guests. There's different ways that you conduct yourself in conversations and the kind of points that you would bring up and the way that you structure it. So there's a lot that you learn too through this iteration and the progress. And if you want to be the best version of yourself and really host the best type of podcast, you've got to just keep iterating and keep going and improving through doing, improving through trying. So those things were kind of realizations I had early on, and knew that the only way that the podcast would grow as well as just I would get better at it is to keep doing it. So that's just what I've been doing.
Amazing. And just curious, like, when did you start this podcast and how many years have you been running it?
Yeah, so it started about a year ago at this point. So 1 year. And yeah, I mean, it's just been a great, you know, it's been incredible. I mean, I think you also asked before about like why I really wanted to do the podcast too. You know, and there's also a point of the part of the consistency is from the reason why. And besides the fact that I think that there's really great stories that need to be shared, as well as these steps specifically, like the steps need to be brought out of individuals. I also just really love people, and people are worlds. You know, they have so many experiences and unique things they've done with their lives, and really just they have a wealth of knowledge. You can sit down and just learn from some of the greatest people in the world at what they do, some of the people that are pioneers and incredible creatives. And to have that opportunity is something that's, you know, that keeps the consistency going. You know, I want to be consistent. We want to be able to continue to build what we're building because of that opportunity to consistently talk with incredible people that affect your life. You know, when you listen to what some of these people say, you know, there's amazing lessons that help you avoid mistakes, position what you're doing to be best, you know, help you have the greatest impact with your life. And I think that those types of things are very motivational for consistency, you know, because you can keep reaching out. And once you build a foundation, it's easier for you to get other types of people like that, that you can have incredible conversations and spend time with. So I think that kind of lends towards, you know, more of a more consistency overall and wanting to do something, you know, like a podcast and keep it going.
For sure. And as you mentioned, like in the start somewhere, like there's a dearth of podcasts out there. So how do you stand out? How do you differentiate? And you said the main way you differentiate is through like having a guest focused approach and also you not speaking as much as, say, the guest. And so I think those are some like really crucial things that are going to accelerate your podcast even more to even more greater heights. So yeah, kudos for starting a podcast. And yeah, excited to see what you ship out, how many episodes you get, and who all comes on your next insane lineup. And so my next question to you is, so what is this like new project that you started? So I know you started some like other projects, but like let's talk about your new project. Like what are you doing? Like what excites you about what you're building? And yeah, anything that the audience can like look forward to, like what are you building exactly?
Yeah, so it's still in development. There's not so much I can share kind of yet on it, but there's definitely a focus on building something that's a consumer brand that takes advantage of, you know, of a lot of new age talent and appeal towards the younger audiences today. I think there's a great opportunity to build something that is really forward thinking for Gen Z. Gen Z is a whole new demographic than what's been out there, and they want different types of consumer products than have been currently out. And so we want to design something from scratch that prioritizes, you know, the digital elements as well as physical elements for consumer products. And so we've been working to put that together for some time. There will be more to share kind of down the line, but that's been, you know, a focus is, you know, in addition to the podcast. And definitely for the podcast, I mean, a lot of the goals around it are, you know, I mean, really, you really want to scale the kind of value we can add to people. And scale the podcast in terms of getting more great guests on, having incredible conversations, and really just adding value to a lot of people that want to be able to build with their lives and want to be able to be creative and implement things that and learn exactly how these people became great. You know, I think that we can inspire a new generation of individuals, especially also Gen Z, with, you know, by sharing these journeys of people that have accomplished amazing things that have impacted millions, if not billion, you know, people's lives. And giving them that blueprint. So, you know, what we're building now, this other project is going to be aligned with that type of mission of really achieving and unlocking people's dreams and helping them get to that point through, you know, physical and digital consumer products.
I think that's really amazing that you're kind of tackling all these mission-driven projects. And I think that's super crucial, like, to have something mission-driven, like, behind what you're doing. And so my next question is more like my last question to you, because we should probably wrap this up, so let's talk about your experience in Israel for a year. So I heard on a podcast that you went on, not sure which one it was, but you were talking about Israel. So let's just talk a bit, let's just talk through like what were some of your like learnings living in Israel. Like I know Israel is like deemed as like a startup hub of sorts in that region of the world. So like just share like what could you say about that? How is Israel like blossoming? How is it doing in terms of startups? And like what could you share just being on the ground over there?
Yeah. So I spent a year abroad and got a really great understanding of the tech scene, but I actually got more of an understanding as I went back later on. It's really incredible. I mean, when I was there for that year, I went to this event called rCrowd, and rCrowd hosts a major conference in Jerusalem on technology and on tech startups. And they also have like a VC fund, so they invest in these companies. And they talked about, they had like 7 or 8 different trends that they predicted would be major technologies. And this was like 5 or 6 years before some of these technologies became big. One of which was they talked about insurance and how insurance would change. And the company Lemonade, which was born out of Israeli entrepreneurs, became one of the top insurance companies in the world, streamlining the insurance process. You know, it's a simple, it's like it takes a couple minutes to sign up for insurance through their app, you know, making it very simple. And they talked about that years before. They mentioned blockchain, before blockchain was as big as it is today, and the kind of potential there. So I think that there's a lot of people, it's very engineering talent heavy, but there's a lot of people that are really just open to building and trying things. I had an opportunity to spend time with Fiverr. Fiverr is a really great company. And they have a very great culture. Their culture is really open-minded. It's innovative, and they have a great office over in Tel Aviv. And you know, we got to chat about what we could potentially be building together and how the freelance market is such a unique market that wants to be able to have this type of freedom and also is very creative. And we went over to Starkware, which is the third largest private company in all of Israel. I think it's valued at $8 billion. And they came up with a whole new type of solution to be able to process transactions on Ethereum in a less costly way. And it's used by companies like Sorare, which is a multi-billion dollar company today. And so there's just a lot of really innovative people that want to create things. And that type of mentality is something that's so present there. And there's a purpose behind it. You know, these people know that this is something they're building for their country. They're building it. And it's a major part. I mean, the tech ecosystem of the GDP of all of Israel is a huge portion of it. And they understand the responsibility of what they have. And so there's a lot of resources that have been developed around that. And there's a lot of people willing to take chances on things that may have seemed crazy in other areas like drip irrigation, or you know, batteries that can charge your whole car within 10 to 12 minutes because of that type of feeling of this national pride. And I think it's something that it's pretty present as well in Miami. There's a lot of people that want to be able to build here, that want to be innovative, and there's an amazing ecosystem that's been born. I mean, I just went to an event from Rome by Howard Lerman. He created a company called Gext that did very well in New York. And they did a proper release event in Miami with, you know, hundreds of people looking at his new software, which is kind of like Zoom, but for the digital home office. And it connects like kind of everybody in your business together on a platform, and you have a digital office there. And it was a great release event, proper release event with lots of people. And I got to really see how amazing this ecosystem is. And it's provided venture capital opportunities, places to connect with people. And so I think it's just important to be in areas like Israel, you know, Tel Aviv specifically, or Jerusalem, you know, Miami over here, that have these types of connections, because you can learn a lot, you can build, and it will definitely help you get to the next steps that you want to be at.
Yeah, so that was a super fascinating discussion on Israel, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, that whole kind of region, and like how there's such a builder's mentality and like builders wanting to accelerate the innovations and whatnot over there. So amazing chatting with you today. And yeah, super grateful that you came on for episode 100 and honored and privileged to chat with you.
Thanks for having me on. And I definitely, just before I go, would like to say thank you to all the different people, the teams of individuals that have, you know, the executive assistants, the chief of staff, the people in communications department that have helped us get so many of these great guests. So thanks for coming. Thanks for, you know, having me on, and definitely wishing you much success with, you know, getting past 100 and the more episodes you do.
Of course. Thank you so much. And yeah,